So today here we have Maxime Bernier, who is the founder and the leader of the People's Party of Canada. And I think he's one of the only honest politicians left in Canada. And so he also runs his Maxime Bernier show. So he's one of my favorite in Canada. So, you know, welcome to the show, Maxime.
Thank you very much. I'm very pleased to be with you today. And yes, I have also my own show at the People's Party of Canada /official YouTube channel. So you can look at all the Max Bernier shows over there.
All right. I forgot to introduce myself, actually. So I am Tian Lee. And how should I call you? Max, Maxime?
Mad Max, Max, Maxime. It's up to you.
Okay. So, you know, I know you have a lot of criticisms of how we've handled the COVID-19 crisis. And I want to ask you about both the economic aspect and kind of the social aspect of how we handled the pandemic. You know, in 2020, we had over $300 billion, Canadian dollars, worth of fiscal budget deficits, you know, all-time highs. And we also had a lot of these lockdowns. I know you're not a fan of both of them. So, you know, maybe you could talk a little bit about that and how you would have handled the pandemic.
And first, I think you're absolutely right by saying that we had very draconian lockdowns all across the country, done by provincial governments. And that's important to say that. I'm doing politics at the federal level. The People's Party of Canada is a party accredited under the Canadian legislation. But at the same time, the Trudeau government help and also encourage provinces to do these draconian lockdowns all across the country by giving them financial support for their economic loss because of these lockdowns. So that's why, you know, at the federal government, you must not promote any lockdowns. And for me, you know, if I were there at that time when everything started, my position on the COVID-19 crisis would have been to lock down only the seniors, only people at risk, like some experts said just in the beginning of that crisis. So you didn't need to lock down an entire population to fight a virus. Actually, that was the first time in the history of the world that we locked down the populations to fight a virus. So that was not the right solution. And as you said, the economic cost is huge. We are paying right now, as you know, the federal government had a deficit of last year of $350 billion. And we are paying for it right now by the Trudeau inflation tax. If you do your grocery, you'll see that there's inflation everywhere, and that inflation will be global before the end of this year. So inflation is a hidden tax. Instead of the federal government taxing you and taking your own money in your own pockets, they're saying you can keep your money in your pockets, but you won't be able to buy the same amount of goods and services with that money. Your purchasing power will go down and your standard of living will go down. So that's a depreciation of our money. Of our money. So it's the inflation tax. So we will be, and we are now all poor because of that. So that's first the economic side of these lockdowns, but also the social side. A lot of people didn't have their surgeries because of these lockdowns. And also a lot of businesses went bankrupt. And for me, all business is essential. Every business is essential. That's important. So we don't believe in these lockdowns. We must reopen the economy right now. And that's too important. We must go back to our life, and we must be able to travel across the country without having to quarantine. Or if we want to go in another country, we must be able to enter in our country without any draconian measures and lockdowns and mandate quarantine.
Right, and you know, a lot of money spent in 2020 was on business loans and transfer payments. So would you reduce the amount of money? Would you not give money? How would you handle the spending?
But first of all, you know, not promoting the lockdowns, the federal government will save a lot of money. So first of all, we must cut all these programs and reopen the economy. And also we must look at our national budget. We cannot spend money that we don't have. We cannot spend our way to prosperity. You know, but that's not by creating money that you are creating prosperity in this country. So our position is very clear. We will look at all the programs and just keep the ones that are essential and in line with our constitution. Right now, the federal government is spending a lot of money in provincial jurisdiction, like the infrastructure funds, like the also foreign aid. We need to cut that and help Canadians first and put Canadians first. I think that's the most important. So there's a lot of things that we can do to save money. And I believe that we, if we are serious and fiscal responsible, we will be able to balance the budget in 4 years. And that's important. We are the only political party that is saying that we are able to balance the budget in 4 years. The conservatives, the liberals are all the same. They don't want to balance the budget. So I think it's important. If you don't want to pay any more taxes or inflation tax, we need to have a balanced budget. And we will be able to do that in 4 years, looking at all the expenses at the federal government and cutting the CBC. We can save $1 billion there. Cutting also corporate welfare, we can save $4 to $5 billion there. So and looking at all the money that we are spending to the United Nations, I think we can save a lot of money over there. I believe that the UN is a dysfunctional organization. And so there's a way to be serious and to bring this country back to prosperity.
Okay, and you know, I heard your plan to cut deficits, and you know, we've apparently had fiscal deficits every year since 2008. So that's a long time of, you know, not balancing the budget at all. And with your foreign aid policies, you know, I think that if we want to help out other countries, I think, you know, at least we need to be able to, you know, be able to afford it, right? You know, we can't be having budget deficits and be giving money to other countries, because that's like making a donation using a credit card. It's not a very smart plan. And so, you know, there's a, on your website, I saw there was a 2 year a plan to balance the budget, to you know, cut the deficits. And, but I also want to ask about the federal debt. You know, the federal debt alone is over $1 trillion. And that's not talking about provincial debt or other types of debt that we have. So, you know, how would you deal with Canada's federal debt?
Yeah, first of all, this country is bankrupt. You know, the Trudeau government is spending money that we don't have. And they can do that because the Bank of Canada, that's our independent bank supposed to be, is buying our Canadian bonds. And by doing that, they're printing new money. And when you print new money, you have inflation. And when you have inflation, our purchasing power is going down. And like I said, everybody would be poor. So that being said, yes, we have a huge deficit, but also a huge debt. And that's why you cannot solve that in 1 year in or in 2 years. You need to have a global approach. You need also to be honest with the population and step by step going there. We need to cut spending, but at the same time, we need to have the right policies that will promote growth. By doing that, we can balance the budget in 4 years. So we need to have more competition in this country. We need to have fewer regulations. We need to have a smarter government in Ottawa. That's why, you know, a federal government that is respecting the Constitution, that will, the impact will be a radical decentralization. And when you do that, you respect provincial autonomy and you respect provincial jurisdiction. But at the same time, it's helping you on your budget. So yes, we will review all the programs. We will put everything on the table, like I said before. We will have a smarter government in Ottawa. We will have policies that will help to create growth. We will have a tax flat rate on income tax for businesses. And so, and we'll also have lower taxes for all Canadians. But before doing that, we need to be able to balance the budget. That must be the first priority. And that, that's what we do. You cannot, you know, lowering taxes to every Canadian. And by doing that, increasing our deficit. You need to, we need to control our deficit and after that, lowering taxes.
Right, right. You know, a lot of governments now are trying to promise tax cuts, but increase government spending. But, you know, government spending has to come from, you know, either normal taxes or the inflation tax. And so, you know, now that we have a huge debt, do you think it would be easier to get out of it, you know, through taxation, through, you know, maybe a default or through the inflation tax, which is right now what we're doing? And it's also the, I'd say, the most politically expedient way and the easiest way.
Yeah. So first, I'm against that. We need to have an agreement with the Bank of Canada. We have inflation in this country because of the Bank of Canada. And actually, the inflation target for the Bank of Canada is 2% every year. But 2% every year inflation, the impact on the economy and on Canadians is huge because you are losing your purchasing power 2% every year. So, and we they need to have a zero inflation target. If 2% inflation is good, why not having 20% inflation? You know, inflation is not good. Inflation is a tax, a hidden tax. So we need to tell the Bank of Canada to have a target of 0% inflation. And like that, Canadians will keep their purchasing power and they won't have any inflation. So that's the solution. And we need to have an agreement with the bank. And actually every 5 years, the federal government signed a new agreement with the Bank of Canada on their inflation target. Now the bank said, you know, 2% inflation, it's not the best. We need to have a little bit more inflation and we will have more inflation. But when we have inflation, it's a tax. And I don't like taxes and I don't like inflation. So a solution would be for the midterm to have an agreement with the bank and telling the bank, stop to print money out of thin air, have a 0% inflation target. And that would be the only way to be able to have a sustainable prosperity in our country.
So if we keep on going through the inflation route and, you know, we keep on giving everybody the inflation tax, do you think, you know, people who want to retire, you know, with fixed income, do you think these guys are going to run into a lot of problems in Canada?
Absolutely. You know, now it's very difficult if you are living on a fixed income. You know, you cannot increase your income and you have that inflation every year, you are every year poorer and poorer. We must stop that. And we must also tell the truth to Canadians. You know, all the money that the federal government gave to Canadians and businesses last year, it was not a gift. It was not a free gift. There's nothing free in this world. We are paying with inflation, as you can see. If you do your grocery, there's about 4 or 5% inflation, and it would be everywhere before the end of this year. I think that's why the Trudeau government is looking for an election this fall before having a double-digit inflation number. So that will hurt a lot of people. And I can tell you that the People's Party of Canada would be ready if we have an election this fall.
So, you know, and you guys want to negotiate with the Bank of Canada. So, you know, how would you guys try to set the monetary policies that the Bank of Canada, so how would you align the monetary policy with the Bank of Canada? What would your aim be for the monetary policies and especially during recessions?
Yeah, during a recession or not a recession, you cannot stimulate the economy with more spending. If you spend more money, you won't stimulate the economy. It would be a sedative for the economy. So it's not working. You cannot spend the money that you don't have and try to create wealth and growth. So to create wealth and growth, you need to increase the production. You know, you must produce something, and after that you have a salary, and after that you can spend. So production is the key. Now the federal government is promoting a spending and stimulus spending, try to stimulate the economy, but it won't work, it never worked. So that's why we are saying to the Bank of Canada, and as you may know, the Bank of Canada is independent from the government of Canada, from politicians, but every 5 years, we can give to the Bank of Canada some directions. And that's why you sign a new agreement with the bank for 5 years. And that's the only time when politicians can have a discussion about the monetary policy, because the monetary policy, it's 100% under the Bank of Canada jurisdiction. But every 5 years, the politicians can have a word and can sign another agreement with the bank. And that's why I said we need to have this new agreement with a 0% inflation target. That would be important. And like that, the Bank of Canada or the government of Canada won't be able to stimulate the economy by using printing money out of thin air. And because that's not working, that's the end result of that is inflation. And we don't want inflation in Canada.
So then how would you treat interest rates? You know, would you stop doing QE? Would you just let interest rates naturally decide where they want to be? Is that what your policy would look like?
Actually, we are like in a communist country right now with the Bank of Canada and the Fed in the US. They are fixing the interest rate. So bureaucrats are fixing interest rate. The interest rate must be fixed by the market, by the free market. And now that's not the case. And the interest rate is artificially low, very low. And that's why the private sector don't want to buy Canadian bonds, because the risk is very high with these huge deficit and that huge debt. The risk is very high, but the reward is very low. The interest rate is very low. So the interest rate is not in line with the risk. So that's why, you know, the private sector is not buying all our bonds, and the Bank of Canada has to do that. And by doing that, they're printing money, they're creating inflation. So what we don't believe in quantitative easing. So that's a printing money out of thin air. We must not do that. And the interest rate must be fixed by the free market. And that's the most important. So the interest rate must be a little bit higher than they are right now, because they are artificially low. They try to stimulate the economy, but they are stimulating corporations to not be productive. There's corporations that they have a huge debt, and because of the interest rate is very low, they can keep that debt and without being so productive. So we call these corporations zombie corporations. So that policy is helping this corporation to be alive when they're supposed not to be alive in a free market, because they're not productive. So that's not the right way to stimulate the economy. So that's why, you know, no quantitative easing, no printing money out of thin air, a zero inflation target for the Bank of Canada, no inflation, looking at our expense and cutting the expense to be sure to be able to balance the budget in 4 years, less regulations, lower taxes when we'll have a balanced budget. And, you know, our economic policy must be based on production and supporting the entrepreneurs and not the bureaucrats and big a big fat government. So we must support the production, because if you want to be richer, you need to produce more. You know, it's like an individual. You know, you don't have any money if you are sitting at home. You work, you do something productive, you work, and after that you have your paycheck, and after that you spend. So that's not the opposite. The government is going the opposite. They're printing money, spending the money, but there's no production. So if you want to have an economy that would be sustainable and productive and prosper, you need to have a good production and have economic policies that will stimulate the production of goods and services, and not a policy that will create deficits to try to stimulate the economy.
Right, Max. I think, you know, right now the politicians are too focused on the demand side of the economy, and, you know, that works well in the short term, but in the long term you just have a ton of debt and you don't have the supply that would, you know, actually bring wealth to the economy. And so, right, you know, if we don't get too much inflation, I mean, do you think the Canadian economy will look like the Japanese, how the Japanese economy looked like, where, you know, they were also doing a ton of QE and, you know, they had a lot of government interference in their markets. And of course, they built up a ton of zombie companies, like you were talking about, and they had artificially low interest rates. And so do you think the Canadian economy will begin to look like the Japanese economy?
But we are a little bit like them right now, and it would be worse if we are keeping to do the same policies. Actually, right now, because of these artificially low interest rates since a long time, individuals have huge debts, corporations have huge debts, and governments also have huge debt. So that's why the Bank of Canada now and the Fed in US cannot raise interest rate, because if they're doing that, they will kill the economy. A lot of businesses will go bankrupt. Individuals will go bankrupt. They won't be able to pay for their mortgage anymore. So they put themselves in a position that it's very difficult for them to increase interest rate. So that's why, you know, after all that Keynesian economic policies, we are at a point right now where the Bank of Canada, the only way for the bank to be able to try to continue to sustain the economy is by printing more and more money. But by doing that, they need always to print more money than they did the year before. And so it's an unending, it's always worse and worse every year. So you need to have the courage to increase the interest rate, but they won't, like they did, like the Fed did in the 1980s. They raised interest rate to up to 20% to stop the inflation. Now the Bank of the Fed and the Bank of Canada must look at it, but they won't. They won't do that. So they prefer to the inflation tax. So that's why you have to be honest with Canadians. Let's control our deficit first. Let's put our budget in order. Let's have a new agreement with the Bank of Canada and try to control the interest rate, and also being sure that the inflation rate will stay at 0% instead of 4, 5, 6%. So you cannot do that in 1 year. It's a big task, but we need, you know, if you go on with these policies, that will be the proof that everything that we did the last 5, 6 years It was such a stimulus for the economy, but instead a sedative. And we are seeing that right now, the impact of these bad Keynesian policies in US and in Canada. So we have to be back to the fundamentals and tell the truth to Canadians. But politicians, establishment politicians, don't want to do that.
Right. And yeah, so I think their stimuluses are just a way to delay the problem and face it into the future. And, you know, you said the money supply was expanding all the time. And yes, and so is interest rates too. You know, every time they try to raise interest rates back up, but every time they try to, you know, raise them back up, it keeps on going lower and lower every time. And, you know, in the 1980s, they had 20% interest rates. But today, you know, if we tried 2% interest rates, we would be in a lot of trouble. And so, you know, in the long term, these policies always are good for delaying the problems, but they don't really solve anything. And, you know, I want to hear your opinion on the 08 financial crisis. You know, a lot of conservatives liked how Harper handled the 08 financial crisis. Now, I think it's kind of a little bit unfair to compare Canada and the U.S. at that time, because first of all, you know, when we had a resource boom, and the Canadian economy, a lot of it depends on natural resources. And second of all, in Canada, we had more reasonable real estate prices. And when the U.S. real estate market collapsed, well, we wouldn't be affected as much anyways. So how do you think we handled the 08 financial crisis? Do you like it? Do you not like it? Do you think it was all right? What do you think?
You know, I was a member of the cabinet at that time. I was part of that government. We did well to manage the deficit, to have a very low deficit, but we played the same game than the US and all the other these other countries by thinking that stimulating the economy by spending will help. So we did that, but in a very small scale, and that's why we're able to return to a balanced budget in 2015, and we did it. But the crisis was not so huge as the crisis in the US, but the federal government bailed out some corporations like GM and other big corporations like that. You know, I'm against corporate welfare, and but if you look at all the other Western governments, I think the federal government at that time under Harper did pretty well. But for me, the best way to deal with a situation like that is to doing that by not spending more money, but by cutting taxes and give more money to into pockets of the producers. But we were in that logic at that time. The federal government was in that logic that we must spend money and stimulate the economy. But I'm very happy that we did that in a very, very small scale. And that was not too damaging for our country in the long term. But now the stimulus that Trudeau is doing is very damaging for us right now and the future generations.
Right. Right now, the spending has gone just crazy high. And so do you think Canada's heading into this more socialist and this MMT, the modern monetary theory economy? Because, you know, Karl Marx, he was saying that capitalist countries eventually turn into socialist, communist countries and vice versa. So do you think we're headed for more socialism, more MMT? And I have a statistic here, and it's a very scary statistic. So, you know, over 50% of Canada's GDP is from government spending. So 50%. So that's like, you know, your more than half of your economy is not from capitalism. So, you know, do you think we're headed for even more of this socialism? And and you know, MMT and all of this?
I think you're right by saying that we are in a socialist era right now, and that can be that for the next 5 to 10 years. And we are the only conservative voice in this country, the only political party that is speaking for a smaller government, no Keynesian economic, no deficit spending to stimulate the economy, for free speech, freedom, a smaller government. We are the only one, and I believe that we'll have an opportunity when the election will come to do well. But for the future, with that Trudeau government, I believe that it can be a little bit worse before being better. Yes, you're right. We are in a kind of a socialist era, and the modern monetary policy is there in Canada. The Bank of Canada is doing that. The Bank of Canada is printing money out of thin air right now, and that is creating inflation. Yes, our elites in this country believe in that modern monetary theory.
And, you know, I know your, I guess you would count, call it a counter proposal, is the classic gold standard. So, you know, do you think we could implement that today? Do you think it would be possible? Do you think, you know, we could implement it in Canada?
But yeah, I spoke about it, the gold standard, but, you know, we cannot do that alone in Canada. And that's why the first step is to have a stable money. And so that's why the first step is a zero inflation target. And like that, you won't create an inflation. But we know that the best system, it's a monetary system that is based on gold. I don't know what will happen with the US dollar in the short term, but if they're spending a lot of money like they're doing like that, and they are, and the Fed is only printing money, the US dollar can go down, and we can have a question at the international table about the US dollar being the unit, monetary unit for the world. I believe that that can change. And if it is changing, we need to have a new alternative. And I believe that any alternative must be based on a sort of gold standard. 100%, 20%, I don't know, but that will be the decision, the discussion of the future. And for us, our country, to be ready for that, we need to have a sound monetary policy based on the zero inflation target.
Right, because, you know, if the U.S. gets a lot of inflation, and, you know, people begin to question whether or not they should have the reserve currency status, you know, there's no good replacement reserve currency out there. So, I mean, maybe the gold standard could be something that would work better than at least any other currency, you know, if the US dollar loses its reserve currency status. And so, you know, historically, do you think that this has worked a lot better, at least in the more recent history, that, or do you think it would last? Because, you know, whenever we have a gold standard, it goes from 100% to, you know, 75%, 25%, and then we lose it. So, I mean, do you think it would, is there a way to make this more long lasting?
But first, you know, you must remember that in the 19th century, we had a kind of a gold standard, and we had a lot of prosperity at that time. Yeah, and I believe that the next system must be based on gold, yes. I hope that the new system, if we have a new system, it must be based on gold and for a long time, you know. But you never know what politicians will do. And you're right, they like to spend money, they like to buy votes. And so they're using the printing press to do that sometime. And that's not the right solution. So if we can go back to a gold standard, I hope it will stay for a long time. We'll see what will happen, but we are in a very an era right now a time where a lot of changes can happen on that side. I don't know what can happen with the American dollar and also the role of the U.S. dollar as the first monetary unit in the world. Something can happen. And we may have that discussion sooner than we thought for having a new monetary system.
Yeah, and I saw one of your videos on your YouTube channel. I think it's like the People's Party YouTube channel. And it was about natural deflation. And I thought that was a great video because, you know, nowadays everybody thinks, you know, inflation is the way you become, your country becomes wealthy. That's how you promote economic growth. But, you know, back then in the 19th century, you know, we had a lot of deflation. We had a lot of prosperity as well. But, you know, what about those people who say that we need a weaker Canadian dollar because a strong Canadian dollar will hurt our trade? You know, at least we need a weak dollar relative to, you know, the U.S. dollar, because we've had 11 trade deficits in the last 12 years. So, you know, what about the whole trade aspect of, you know, currency strength?
Yeah, but when you have a strong dollar, when you have a strong monetary unit, it's because you have a strong economy. You know, it's going together. But on the short term, if your dollar is going stronger too fast, yes, that can have an impact on the businesses that are exporting. But, you know, the goal of the government is not to promote export instead of import. It's to try to have a monetary policy that would be fair for everybody. Fair for Canadians, fair for exporters, fair for people who want to import. So that's why we must not mingle and try to direct the economy. I believe that a strong dollar would be good for Canadians if they want to import goods, and it would be cheaper. But at the same time, look at in Germany, when they had a very strong monetary unit, they were able to export. Look at Switzerland, they had a very strong monetary unit, Swiss franc, and they were able to export. So, but the goal is to, that change must come slowly, phase by phase, for these businesses to have time to adjust. And that's the solution. We need to have a stronger dollar for the prosperity of our country.
Okay, now I want to talk a little bit about taxes and taxation. And I know you guys are promoting a 0% capital gains tax, which makes me very excited. And so I want to hear about the other form of taxation, which is, you know, a high sales tax and cutting government spending to maybe replace a personal income tax. Is that possible? Would that make any sense?
Well, it can be doable, but not on the short term. That's why we want to go, first of all, balancing the budget. Second, having a flat tax on businesses at 10%. And also to be able to lower taxes to every Canadian by having only 3 tax rate. And if it's going well after that, you may go to 1 or to 2. But there's something there. But everything must be done step by step. And I believe that the best tax system is the one that is transparent, fair for everybody, clear, easy to understand. And you know, our tax platform is very clear. But also, you know, I wish we can say that we will impose a flat tax on people, on Canadians at 5%, but it's not realistic. It's not. You need to do the reform, the bold reforms that we have in our platform to achieve all that. And after that, to implement our tax reform. And I think, you know, it will help a lot if Canadians have a new tax system without any loopholes. Without using the tax system to try to buy votes by giving tax credits. We want to abolish all these kind of tax credits that the federal government put in place to buy votes. You know, if you have a kid that want to play hockey, the federal government is giving you a tax credit for that. And that way it's just to try to buy your votes and saying, you know, it's important for us. We want to have your support and your kids is very important. So we'll give you a tax credit for your kids if they're doing some sport or things like that. We need to have a policy that won't pander to every special interest group and be fair for everybody. But before speaking about that, the big challenge that we have, it's the deficit and balancing the budget.
Right, and so balancing the budget, cutting taxes, that also means you're gonna have to cut a lot of spending. And so I wanna hear some of your priorities for spending. So what would you cut last?
You know, actually, the equalization formula, the government, the federal government is spending a lot of money there to other provinces like AFNOT provinces. I think we can change that formula to be fair for everybody, to give the right incentive to provinces like Quebec or New Brunswick to develop their own natural resources. Now they don't have any incentive to do that with the equalization formula. So you change the equalization formula, you change that to be less generous and giving the right incentive. So if you do that, you can save billions of dollars. You know, we can start there. We can start by foreign aid. You can save another $4 billion there. You can also start by cutting all the subsidies to businesses. You can save a lot of money there. So it's all in our platform, and I will invite your viewers to go on our platform, go on our website, peoplespartyofcanada.ca, and take the time to read our platform. It's a Korean platform based on four principles: individual freedom, personal responsibility, fairness, and respect. And we are telling the truth. We don't try to buy your votes. We are just telling the truth. And we need to do a lot of bold reform in this country to bring back this country to a path of prosperity.
Right. That sounded like a very good a plan. And, you know, I also saw online a billboard, you know, against mass immigration. I think that got a lot of controversy. And, you know, so it's cutting immigration by over 50%. But, you know, how would we increase or should we want to increase the population growth in Canada? Because we're not very, we're quite spread out, and we have a lot of people in a lot of, in some cities, but, you know, other places, there's not that many people. So we want more people coming in.
Yeah, but absolutely. We want people that are coming here for the right reason. That's why we need to have a test with them and asking them if they believe in our Canadian values, individual freedom, personal responsibility, equality before the law, equality between men and women. So being sure these people share the Western civilization values and having the skilled immigrants that will come here, a person that will have a job, will be able to participate right now in our society. And so that will be positive for this country. So yes, our platform is to have 150,000 immigrants a year. The huge majority must be economic immigrants, skilled immigrants. Right now, it is not what we are having with the federal government. There's a lot of people that are coming under the reunification of family program and also a lot of refugees. We, like you know, the border between Quebec and the state of New York, the Roxham Road, people are crossing illegally our border over there, and they claim that they are refugee. And refugees, I don't believe that they are refugees. When you're coming from the state of New York, your life is not in danger. We need to stop that. We need to help the real refugees that are waiting in a camp somewhere in another country. So that's the bold reforms that we must do in the immigration system, but focusing more on our economic needs. So you know, the the immigration policy must be based on the economic needs of our country. So that's the most important, and that's not the case right now. So we believe that, you know, if we have a little bit less of reunification of family people, a little bit less of refugees, and we're gonna help the real refugees instead, more economic immigrants, and that will help to build this economy. That's the solution. So the question is not to have always more and more and more people. So, you know, we cannot, you know, we are, it's a privilege to be a Canadian, and we cannot be the savior of the world. That's impossible. So we like our country. This country has been built by immigration. We agree with that. We need to have a fair immigration system and allow these people to integrate our society, to be part of our society. And I think with 400,000 a year, it won't be the case. And so that's why we are the only political party at the federal level in Canada that is arguing in our platform for fewer immigrants, more skilled immigrants. That's, I think that would be important for the future of this country. And also, we need to be sure that Canadians will have a job. So that's all together with our economic policy and our immigration policy. These two policies are going together.
So what do you think about having the same amount of immigrants, but having the immigrants, you know, more skilled, I guess more suited, who can help the economy more than, you know, maybe some others, just higher quality immigrants, I'd say, and having the same amount or even more of these, what do you think about it that way? If, you know, you're also cutting some of the benefits that, you know, immigrants would get, how do you think that would work?
Well, first, you know, if you want more skilled immigrants and economic immigrants, that must be based on the private sector. So I think if you have 150,000 a year, but the huge majority, maybe 80% of them are skilled immigrants, you are answering the needs from the private sector. Right now, with a number of 350,000 a year, the vast majority of that, maybe 60% of them, or 60% or 65% of them are not skilled immigrants or economic immigrants. So that's why I think at 150,000 a year, that's a starting point. We'll see what will happen. We'll listen to the private sector. But I think in 150,000 a year, that's a very nice start. And actually, that was the average of the upper government. When I was there, you know, we the Trudeau government tried to transform our society and using the legislation that is putting forward and also using the immigration system. I like my country. I want my country to be like that. I want people to be integrated. I want to celebrate the unity of this country. And I want this country to be like that in 25 years. So that's why we need to have a debate on immigration, and we have a strong position. If you want always more and more immigrants, you can vote for the Liberals, the Conservatives, the NDP, the Bloc Québécois, all these traditional establishment political parties. And if you want to have a discussion about immigration, we are the only party that will open that discussion.
Right, and I think if we get some of the more smaller government, lower taxes, 0% capital gains tax, then we're going to be opened to a lot more skilled and other immigrants who can contribute a lot more to the economy. So I think that's, you know, another benefit of these smaller government policies as well. And so, Max, you know, how do we get people in Canada to realize, you know, that we have a lot of economic and financial problems in Canada with all this debt, which is, you know, future taxation? Do you think it will come more naturally due to some economic problems becoming more serious? Or do you think people will just, you know, realize that, you know, a lot of these problems are caused by big governments.
Yeah, I think they will. That's why, you know, the People's Party, we are speaking about that. We are speaking about the bold reforms that we need to have in this country. We're not afraid to tell the truth. And I think the more people will be able to listen and understand this, the economic situation and social situation where we are here in Canada right now, that's not the best one. We need to improve that. We'll have more support. So I believe that we'll be able, step by step, to have more people that support sound fiscal policies. But it will come. It will come. That's why we'll have the opportunity to speak about that if we have an election this fall.
Right. I want to thank you a lot. You know, it's been really fun. And I hope you have luck this fall if we get another election. And so, you know, I'll see you next time, hopefully. And take care.
Thank you. Have a nice day also. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.